Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, February 7 and Sunday, February 8. It is a great joy to be with you today and come back here on the Gospel Pulpit. And I just want to say that I was in the North Wilkesboro, North Carolina area the other day preaching, and man, did we run into some listeners that listened to us over WKBC Radio, AM 800 there in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And that station's been on the air for many, many years. I grew up as a young boy. We'd listen to the news on that station and different things. So anyway, it's a great joy to be on that station. I think we've been on there about 2 years now. And I appreciate Josh and all his staff over there. And boy, they're always kind to me at WKBC Radio in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. I appreciate all of our listeners over there and other stations. We get so much response out of, and I praise the Lord for what God is doing. Well, we launched a project back in last week and announcing it to you. It's called Reaching America with the Gospel. And I'm asking 1,000 people across this country, whether it be your Sunday school class, your youth group, or you as an individual, I'm asking 1,000 people across America, would you help us by just $10 a month get the gospel out? And we'll keep you updated as we start taking on other stations. We may take some on in the south. We may take some on in the north. We may take some on in the west, southeast. And we'll just do it as the Lord leads, all right? And it'll help us take it on. It's not going to just be west altogether, but it will be a lot in the western and midsections of our country. We'd like to get on some different stations. So we'll let you know as the doors come open. We'll see how the money comes. But I want you to pray before you send anything. I do not want you to think that I'm some preacher just after your money. I want you to know that I'm a country preacher. I'm saved by grace. I'm going to heaven. And I've got to be honest with people because I'm going to meet God one day. Amen. I wouldn't take a dime from anybody dishonest. And God help anybody that would do that. Amen. Now, here's the way you give. You can give, make your check to GBI, just three letters. G as in George, B as in baseball, I as in Idaho, GBI. And here's our mailing address. They say it'll come this way. My office does. So here we go. GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or that's GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. You can also give online at gbiradio.org. Just make a note in there and put Reaching America so we'll know that that's it. Also, you can call our offices Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can give on the credit card or the debit, and they can also set that up where it would come out monthly if you'd like to do that. Our number is 336-356-1560. That's 336-356-1560. We'll get you the office there, and you call us and give today. We'd be glad to have you do that and be a part of this Reaching America with the Gospel. I'm going to keep you updated. Now, we're going to continue the study on the life of David, and we're studying Psalm 11 again this week, so we'll go to that. Father, will you take our study and bless it for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the message of the Word of God. Secret, they don't want anybody to know what they're doing. But let me say this to you. I'm not preaching political. I'm preaching God's Word. And God says that the wicked work in secret. Amen. And a lot of things are on the, getting ready, trying to be passed, and that the public don't know about. And when you got to be careful sometimes. You got to learn things. That's why on my prayer list, I like to take, and I hadn't been, to be honest with you, I have one list that I pray for America, but on my regular list, I need to get this back in it and write down every state in the United States. And pray for that state because you don't know when laws are going to be passed in certain states. Amen. I mean, I've been living long enough now. You never thought marijuana would be passed as a legal substance in the United States. By the way, it's against federal law. I just want you to know that it's not constitutional for a state to pass a marijuana law because it conflicts with the federal law. However, the federal government has chosen not to enforce that law. And I think I'm right on that. I know I'm right on that. But anyway, I'm moving on. I'm getting into things today, and I want to stay in the Bible. But I'm just saying, David thought in his day, he said, man, they've been in the bow. There was some telling David to run, but David did not run. They were after David. They're going to kill him. Now, evil likes to work in secret. Well, let's move on here, and let's see here. Amen. Did you know that in, by the way, did you know that in Genesis 49, that evil worked in a secret way? Do you remember Simeon and Levi, how earlier in Genesis they went and slew Shechem and all his people because of Dinah, and they worked subtly and they tricked the people and had all the men to be circumcised, and then on the third day they come boldly upon the city. And in his dying day, Jacob remembered that. And this is what he said in Genesis 49:5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. And in their self-will they dig down a wall. Well, let me say this to you. You know what they did? They killed a whole city, but they did it secretly. Amen. I mean, now they were Israelites, but they worked wickedness. And it was remembered against them in their blessing when God handed the blessings out to the tribes. Now, Levi later became the tribe of the priest. But it didn't change the fact that Levi himself was involved in something he shouldn't have been involved in. And here's the thing about it. Wickedness is even at work again today. And it's a very secret thing. That's why the political people are trying to politicize all the issues. If they can get this politicized, then they can pass a law and say, well, you can't preach against that because it's political. No, sir, friend. Drinking is not political. The Bible says, whoa. The Bible said, whoa. The Bible said, whoa to the man that put the bottle to his neighbor's lip. That means if you make it, if you buy it, if you drink it, and that also means if you sell it. If you're a Christian and you're working a convenience store selling beer, God put a woe on you. He said, woe to the man that put the bottle to his neighbor's lip. When you ring that wine up, that beer up, you're putting it in your neighbor's mouth. You're sinning. You say, preacher, I have no other job. I'd pray to God, give me a job. Amen. I'd dig a ditch. Amen. Eat earthworms before I'd sell beer to somebody. Amen. Now, that ain't preached much in our day and hour. Well, you know why? Because most Baptists drink. Amen. Drinking's a sin. I just want you to know that. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. You say, preacher, get in the Bible. I've been in the Bible. Where have you been for the last few minutes? Amen. The Bible talked about the wickedness. The Bible talked about the wicked bend their bow. The Bible talked about the wicked shooting at the righteous. Amen. Now, let me show you this. Let's go to verse number 3. Now, we have heard this verse quoted a many, many times. The Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, he said, if the foundation, David said, in other words, if all the foundations of God here are destroyed, what in the world can the righteous do? Now, David knew that God had promised Israel three things. God gave Israel three gifts. And you can remember them. They all start with an L. God gave Israel, first of all, the land. God said, I'm going to bring you out of this land, out of Egypt, into a land. All right, God promised Abraham a land. All right, God promised them that, and when they entered it, they defiled it. After a few years, they defiled their own land. God gave them, at Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. And Moses read the law again in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is called the second reading. That's what it means, of the law. And they forsook it. God gave them the land, they defiled it. God gave them the law, they forsook it. Now, the third thing that God gave to Israel was the Lord, the Messiah. He was to come, and they rejected him. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? Now, David believed that God was going to give all three of these gifts and had given these gifts to Israel. And the Messiah had not come yet. They did have the land. They did have the law. And David conquered a lot of the land that they didn't have even after he was king. So there was more to do. But David realized, and they believe, but David is saying here, he made a statement, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, what are we going to do? And what he's really talking about is the law and order of that day, the unruliness of that day. Saul had no law and order. Saul had murderers working for him, or people that was basically ready to commit murder. I mean, he had some wicked people in his court. And Saul was living just carelessly. And so David was seeing that the foundations that God had put for Israel through Moses and through Joshua, David was seeing that they were being destroyed. Does that remind you of anything today in America? Our foundations are being destroyed. Law and order is being destroyed in America. Did you ever think you'd live in a day when they'd take a criminal that's committed a crime, take him in, put him under a bail, and set him free? Did you ever think they'd set violent criminals free from prison? I'm going to read you a verse in the Bible, all right? And this comes from the King James Bible. You cannot argue with this verse. Ecclesiastes 8:11, Solomon says this. This is Solomon. And Solomon says this. He said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, because that our judicial system does not uphold the law half the time, because we have elected district attorneys that will not uphold the law, and basically what they're doing is overthrowing the government. That's what their whole job is, to overthrow the government. When you allow crime and you promote crime, then you're going to have more crime. When you go against your police, and by the way, thank God for every policeman and woman and every police officer that whether you're state highway patrol, whether you're county sheriff, whether you are U.S. Marshal, whether you're an FBI, thank you. Thank you for protecting our country. Thank you. And my hat goes off to you. Amen. And I say that the men in blue are a friend to you. Amen. And I will not, and listen, but when we teach our children, And on these liberal campuses and universities, when we're taught that policemen, that we can just talk any way we want to, that we can shoot police cars. And listen, that is overthrowing the government. It's overthrowing. And the foundations are being destroyed. If they can destroy the communists, the liberals, if they can destroy law and order, then the country will be in chaos. Do you not see that? Now you say, preacher, how do we fix that? Well, there's two or three things. Number one, you pray about it. Number two, you go vote the right people in. Amen. It's not political, friend. We got to take our communities back. We got to take our towns back. Yes, our towns. We have neglected the little things, the towns, the counties. Amen. It's not a political party. It's who's right. Who's by the Bible. Who's going by the book, you see. And put some people in. It's not wrong for people to run for public office. They ought to run. People ought to run for public office. I encourage that. Somebody say, I just don't think a Christian ought to run for office. Well, I don't really care what you think. Amen. I'd rather have a Christian up there and have an atheist up there. Amen. At least if you know if a Christian's up there, it'll be run right. Amen. Thank God for the Christian people that are in office. Amen. We need some Christians in there. Amen. Somebody made a statement back around. A Christian didn't have no right to run public office. Well, I'll tell you right now, an atheist and a liberal don't have any right either. Amen. If a Christian don't. Under the Constitution, they both have a right, okay? So they both have a right to run, all right? So here's the deal. Amen. But he said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, now, you know, David is a young man. David's 18, 19 years old. And David sees at an early age that the foundations in Israel is being destroyed. David sees that the law is not being going by. They said, David said later, as after he was king, you see, when God set David up as king, it was a revival. It wasn't just a king taking over. David was the eighth son of Jesse. Ruth was the eighth book of the Bible. And eighth is a number of new beginning. And when David came to the throne, it was a new beginning, not only physically for Israel, but it was a spiritual beginning. It was a new spiritual beginning. It was a revival. You see, and David had it in his heart that something needed to be done. How about you? Do you see that something needs to be done in our nation? Well, God ain't called us to march in the streets. God ain't called us to burn buildings down. That's not the way you get anything changed. I tell you how you get things changed. Get on your knees and pray. First of all, Christians need to clean their hearts up. We want America to have a physical awakening, but I'm going to say something. We need to have a spiritual awakening in our churches. We have got to get back to God, folk. We've got a form of Christianity. We've got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's what we got. We're coming to church. It's a routine. It's a duty. I mean, people don't care this day and time. They can take 15 vacations a year. They don't care about the local church. They can just go here, go there, see this site and that site. It don't bother them. They can go anywhere they want to go. They don't care about their church. And there's nothing going on in the churches. Amen. The preachers are in it for retirement and for money. And I know people don't like me say that. No, Cawthon, I'd get you to come preach at my church, but that just dooms you. Well, let me say this to you. Friend, I'm telling the truth. And the truth is we need some people to get a hold of God. We need some young people. We need some young people that will get a hold of God, will fast and pray and seek revival for our nation. We need some preachers that will seek revival. Oh, well, preacher, I'm holding the fort. I just don't think the revival's going to come. I'm just holding the fort. I'll tell you one thing. You could save a generation right now if we'd have revival. God's given us an open space of revival right now. You say, when are we going to have it? Right, I've been praying revival for 4 years. And right now is the time to have it. It's not some mystical thing that God just drops down on us. It's people getting right with God. And when people start getting right with God and confessing their sins, we'll have revival, you see. And so David now. David was a young man. And David had no political power to do anything. And David saw the foundations crumbling right before his eyes. So I want to take a little detour here. And I want to go off that for a minute. And I want to say this. Foundations that are under attack. There's some foundations in America today that is under attack. I don't know if I'll spend a lot of time with these, but I'm going down a few. Number one, the home is under attack. I want to say that God made the home man, woman, and children. I want you to understand that. God didn't make the home man and man, woman and woman. God didn't make the home man and his girlfriend and his stepchildren. God, now, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to say something. Hold on. God didn't make the woman, her boyfriend, stepchildren. Now listen, if you've been in a divorce situation and you've got stepchildren and God's forgiven you, I'm not preaching about that. But what I am saying today, it is not right to leave your husband and get another one and leave your wife and get another one. You say, I prayed about it. Hogwash and pickle juice. You didn't pray about that. God said you to stay. God created them from the beginning, male and female. I married my wife on the 20th day of July of 2007. And I'm supposed to stay with her till death do us part. Amen. That's right. The home is under attack. Brother, the devil has brought in the liquor, the sex, the cussing, the drinking on the television. And now these things where you can get the movies and pipe the garbage right into your home on these smart TVs. And I tell you, brother, the devil's filled our homes. Amen. He's filled it. And brother, there's little time for the Bible. Sports have taken over. And I know I'm preaching hard, but sports has taken over today. Amen. People would rather be interested in their kids playing ball than they would knowing five verses in the King James Bible. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I'd rather see your kids strike out at ball and know the Bible. Amen. Listen, friend, my old mama who's in the grave, my mama prayed for me to be a preacher. I want to thank God she did. Amen. Then I want to say this. This one, now they'll never destroy this one, but the church is under attack today. You may not know, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And David realized that. Did you know worship was under attack in David's day? Because he said about the ark, he said, we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. I mean, Saul never went before the tabernacle and worshiped God only when he wanted to. And when he did, he made a mistake. You see, Saul was a king. And a king was not supposed to be priest. But you remember in Gilgal, what got Saul in trouble in the first place was, and Samuel warned him about it about 2 years before it happened. He said, you go to Gilgal. He said, you wait till I come. And Saul sat there, and the enemy was on him, and Saul panicked, and Saul tried to offer an offering. He wasn't the priest. And brother, he got in trouble over that. And let me say this to you, that the church is being attacked in ways you wouldn't believe. I'm going to go ahead and say it today. And I'm just going, and by the way, I love you. I want you to understand. But the contemporary church movement is an attack on the local fundamental church. This dress down movement, this come as you please, wire anything you want to, all the beat, bang, bang music, the lights and all this, we're going to go where they, oh, but preacher, the music has changed and the method's changed, but the message hasn't changed. I got some words for you, hogwash and pickle slop. Amen. Let me tell you something. You change your music and your method, it won't be long till you'll change your message and your manuscript. Amen. I'm preaching what you was preached 40 years ago. I'd make no apology for preaching the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, you'll never preach in my church. Well, apparently God didn't want me there. It's okay. But I'm simply telling you that God is on the throne. And we're going to see that later on in this psalm. And God's going to make everything right one day. Amen. But make no bones about it. The church is under attack. An old-fashioned preacher like me is under attack today. They're teaching these young boys and by the way, an alliterated outline is fine. But if that's all you got, you ain't got much message. I want you to know that. If all you go to the pulpit with is a bunch of alliteration, and I had a friend of mine who was king of alliteration. He was the greatest alliterator that man has ever known in our day, and he's passed away now, but he was the great alliterator, and I learned a lot under him. But I want to say this to you. I use alliteration sometimes, but I'm going to say if that's all you got, you ain't got nothing. You need the power of God on that message, and you need to preach what God tells you to preach. Amen. Now, can I say this? They'll never destroy this one either, but the Bible is under attack. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, David, you ever thought about this? David was a young boy here, about 19 years old. Now, David knew a lot about God's Word. And we studied Psalm 19 a ways back, and we realized that David knew a lot about God's Word, right? But you know, apparently, you know, Samuel told Saul, he said, stand still a while, you know, and he's going to tell him the word of the Lord. But apparently that word didn't sink into Saul. I never find where Saul even leaned to the word of the Lord. Do you? Did you know there are people today, they'll tell you, I don't care what that Bible says. There are people say, well, preacher, times have changed. You see, what it is, it's okay when your kids start doing it. You know, sins that you used to believe were sins were sin until your kids fell into it. You say, well, you just won't never know until you have kids. I think I do. Let me just tell you something. If I had a kid was drinking liquor, I still wouldn't uphold liquor. If I had a kid that was living together, not being married, shacking up, I still wouldn't uphold that kid. If I had a kid that, was out in left field and believed all kind of crazy stuff, I still wouldn't believe it, amen. No, sir. There comes a time you got to put God over family. Amen. You don't change with the times. No, sir. Amen. You stay with the Bible. And I'll say this, in our fundamental churches today, the King James Bible is under attack. These other versions are slipping in. People is listening to these so-called Bible teachers on the radio, and they're teaching out of other versions of the Bible, and they're doing it in the name of more knowledge. I want to tell you something. I guess the Greek and the Hebrew is all right, but you don't have the original manuscripts. And I'm not against looking up words in the Greek and the Hebrew. I did it yesterday. But I'll tell you one thing. If you get you an English dictionary, the English words in the Bible need to be looked up in English. Amen. You need to know what these words mean in English. Amen. And let me tell you something today. Our Bible is under attack. I mean, if you're a King James Bible preacher, you're almost laughed at now. Oh, you mean you're not enlightened? You're not with these other versions? Well, you better go read on the what one man wrote about one of these so-called versions that he helped put together. I won't call the man's name on the radio, but he wrote this. I read it. He said, don't read this version of the Bible. He said, I'm in trouble with God. Oh, you better read Revelation chapter number 22 about taking away from God's Word and adding to God's Word. And I'm telling you, these new modern versions have tucked verses out. They've added verses. They've skipped words. I'm telling you, they have. Amen, they have. You got, if you don't have a Bible, you don't have an authority. And the Bible is being attacked today. I'm not ashamed of being a Bible Christian. If I never get another dime support on the radio, if I never get another place to preach, I'm not ashamed of the King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God that saved me, that got my family in the house of God, that has fed me all these years, that put me in the ministry. I'm not ashamed of that book, and I thank God for it. And by the way, I believe every word in the Bible. I believe every jot and tittle. That's a dot over an I and a cross over a T. Amen. I believe it all. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let me show you this. Let me show you another foundation that's being attacked is the foundation of education. Now, in that day, people wasn't being educated in the Lord. Saul wasn't trying to educate people in the ways of God. You never hear anything about the priest much. I mean, you know, they did what they could, but Saul didn't put emphasis. And by the way, when the government don't put emphasis on it, then society goes the other way. What we have done is we've sat back and allowed the government to take over our education. By the way, I believe this. I believe God intended for a man and woman to educate their children. Amen? I believe in that. Now, the The public education has gotten to be government-controlled and big business. Now, if you're a teacher in the public school system, I want you to know something. I want you to listen to me. I'm not against you. I want you to know that I've got people that I know personally are teachers in the public school system and are friends of mine. But I'll say this. They'll tell you. If they're Christian, they'll tell you we're having a hard way to go in there. And let me say this to you, all this positive thinking, all this psychology, and all this never say anything negative, never say the word no, it will not raise these children. And if you think it will, you're crippled too high for crutches, and you ought to sue your brain for none support. My friend, you better read the book of Proverbs, amen, correction, withhold not correction from a child, amen. I mean, listen, friend, we are to correct children. You have to teach children to do right. And I'm like old Lester Roloff. If you want to know things, get in the Bible. See what God said. But I tell you, our education is under attack. They want to teach your kids things in school that they got no business teaching your kids. You can say amen. And I tell you, mom and daddies, you ought to know who's on these school boards. And this is not a political issue. You ought to know who's on these school boards. And I tell you something else you ought to do. You ought to know what they're teaching your kids. Amen. Yeah, amen. There's a lot of people homeschooling their kids, and I have to applaud that, I guess. Well, I do. Amen. I guess I do. I do applaud it. I have to applaud the Christian schools if they're right. I'm not saying if you send your kid to public school, you're a heathen. I didn't say that either. But I'm saying the education system is being attacked. If, young people, if you're going off to a secular college, you had better be grounded in the Word of God, and you had better know what the Bible says. Otherwise, you're going to come out of there a God-denying heathen. And that's what's happened. That's what's produced your communists and liberals. You see, these young kids, 20-year-olds, they go in there, and these girls and boys, and they're taught to fight, 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 fight. Burn it down, fight, get in the streets, march. The problem is they don't know what they're marching for. If you sit down and question them, they don't know what they're fighting about. And if you really got their attention, they'd say, well, wait a minute, I don't believe that. But they're out there fighting for it. You know why? Because people are emotional. People go, what do they mean? The education, the devil has attacked that in our country. Did you know that in 1803... Thomas Jefferson was not only the president of the United States, but Thomas Jefferson was the superintendent of the Washington, D.C. school system. Did you know that the King James Bible, some of you fundamental Baptists have went away from, did you know the King James Bible, not these other versions now, but picture they wasn't on the scene. No, they wasn't these publishing companies making all kind of money off of them. That's where your problem is. Did you know the King James Bible was the textbook for the public school system? Are you going to tell me we're better off now than we was in 1803? Oh, preacher, we got more technology, got more sin, too. In Thomas Jefferson's day, you never heard tell of a school shooting, did you? I mean, you didn't have to have a security guard guarding the school in Thomas Jefferson's day, right? Brother, if we'd get a revival in this country, we'd a lot of things would be the education. And then I want to say this, law and order. And I've already dealt with that, but law and order is under attack in America. And David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are destroyed, the righteous are left holding the bag. When law and order ceases, then the righteous are going to get attacked. And they're going to have to pay the price for it. There are people right now giving reports about their land. Down south on the southern border, about how their land, people just going all over their land, coming in, and they can't patrol their own land. Let me tell you something, brother, and the government sets back on that. I want to say this to you. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There are people paying penalties today for this lawlessness in our country. We need revival. We got to have God. We need revival. We've got to have a move of God. Well, I know. All right, now, I want to go to Psalm 11. And I'll begin with this verse, and I will not be able to finish this today, but I will begin with this verse. Psalm 11, verse number 4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let's just stop right there. Now, we told you all the bad, but I want you to know the Lord is where? He's in His holy temple. Now, in David's day, that referred to the tabernacle. The Solomon's temple was not built. And David knew where God was. Saul didn't understand it. He didn't care about it. He just didn't care about it. But David knew that God was still between those cherubim. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, February 7th and Sunday, February the 8th. We thank you for listening. We are glad to be on this great station, all right? Go to our website, gbiradio.org, for more information about our ministry. And until next week, I'm Brother Ricky saying goodbye. God bless you is my prayer.
Jesus.
Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.